What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here, fourth and final hour of the show. 9:02 on this Monday edition as we try to back it in properly here. Darren McFarland will join us coming up in just a matter of moments. The big finish at 9:30. We're witnessing one of the most epic parking jobs in our parking lot right now of all time. I mean, this is, you talk about coloring between the lines as a kid, you ought to see what's going on in our parking lot. But I digress. Let's move on. We got issues to discuss. Darren McFarland, of course, Darren Donick and Chase, Preds Radio Network, joins us every Monday at 9 o'clock to talk all things Nashville Predators. D-Mac, how are you this morning?
Gentlemen, how are you? Doing fantastic.
I've been better. You know, I had Baylor and silly underdogs, and they decided to pull an Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl and cough up a 28-3 lead. Life's great.
Yeah, I had that as my number one pick. I know you like to joust me and always tell me my loser picks are good, but I actually had that was my number one pick, and it looked really, really good. And then I had Vanderbilt, and that looked really good
D-Mac.
For a very, very short amount of time.
Hey, D-Mac.
Yeah.
Have you won a game?
You know the answer to that.
Now, why do you get – he's nice enough. You already ran off Aaron Suttles. Now you're going to run off Darren McFarland? I mean, come on.
I just why you guys have me on here, okay? Goodbye.
Darren, so how do the Predators stop the other team from scoring goals?
Open-ended and a very good question right now. Obviously, they need to work on their defense, and they've admitted that. Roman Josi, the captain, stood up, as a leader should, and talked about the play in front of the blue ice, and they've got to get better. And it requires being better on both ends of the ice. And, look, it hasn't been going well for them. We know that. They've been giving up too much. They know it. Now they're going to have to fix it. I wasn't there on Saturday, but certainly was tracking it closely and sat there in disbelief. I remember the Chicago game. 2.5 weeks ago, and they just totally dominated the Blackhawks. If it wasn't for Robin Leonard, that game was 10-0. I mean, Chicago had no fight, no pushback. The Predators absolutely owned them. They shut them out. Nick Foligno had a hat trick, and Chicago looked like a team that really wasn't that good this year. And since then, they've been playing a whole lot better. And what happened Saturday night? And I mean, I can't believe Nick didn't start off with the Saturday night stat. Or Saturday home stat, whether it's day or night, because the woes on Saturdays continue at home. And yet again, you know, they didn't end the road trip the way they wanted to. As we talked about last week, they had one more game left, and it was in Vancouver, and they gave up 5 goals in that one. Typically, I guess technically 4, an empty netter, but they lose 5-3. I mean, just they got to get better defensively. There's no excuse for it, and they know it. So it's just going to be a matter of going out to improve it. It's like the Taylor one. Like at this point, it's words. Now go out and prove it.
D-Mac, we know that it's only about 25% of the way through the season, but when you sit here and you look at the Central Division standings, the only team below Nashville right now is the Minnesota Wild. And I think one of the things that has made Peter Laviolette so successful here in Nashville is, you know, evolving. He's not a hellfire and brimstone kind of guy every single day, maybe the way he used to be earlier on in his career, but, you know, dating back to Philadelphia. But is it at a point where Laviolette might need to dish out one of those butt chewings to kind of send a message, or is it beyond that at this point and he doesn't really need to do any of that?
Well, I would say this, Nick. I agree with your assessment. I 100%. If this was Peter Laviolette, you know, 8 years ago, hell, if it was Peter Laviolette or at the beginning since he's been here, I mean, this is year 6 for him. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. But look at that roster then. They had some – this team is a very experience-laden roster. I mean, this is more of a question you guys should discuss with D-Mace. I mean, going through 15 years – in the NFL and playing on some very experienced teams. You can't treat very experienced teams
and mature teams the same way you can younger guys. You know, guys at the beginning of their career, no matter how talented they are, because they're young, they're green, and they haven't seen everything, and they're going to make mistakes. And so you can treat them or that room a little bit different. I mean, this room has done nothing but get more experience, and it's just full of leaders and guys that have been there, done that. And I think you have to do that. I don't think that plays in a room like that. I mean, what have they not heard to this point? I mean, flipping over a table, throwing a cooler against the wall to guys that have been there, done it. I mean, to a 19-year-old, that gets their attention. To a younger guy or a guy that's trying to make a roster, it gets their attention. But the guys that have been there, done it, and have been through all the wars and the grind, and basically they've been playing 100 hockey games a year, I just don't think that plays. I mean, I guess maybe you get one crack, you get one bite at that apple. I mean, you can't do it more than once with a room like that. So it's a fair question, Nick. I don't know what the right answer is. My guess is probably not. It just doesn't play in a room like they have currently constructed. But, you know, I guess if it continues to slide, at some point you'll have to do whatever it takes to pull them out of it. I don't expect that it'll continue because we've been through all this, right? I mean, I know people don't want to hear it, but this is part of it. And sometimes it doesn't play out, and sometimes it does. Last year, you know, the things we talked about played out. It was a problem, and it never changed. And maybe this will continue to be a problem. I don't anticipate that, but we're still just 19 games into an 82-game season.
No, you're absolutely right about the experienced locker room compared to the young green locker room. Flipping over tables, screaming and yelling, it might get attention in the younger locker room. It gets those guys going, and you know, they go out there and they might give you inspirational, you know, play. But from a veteran locker room standpoint, you can do it one time, but eventually, you know, the whole cliches and all that other stuff, it starts to wear. And guys are figuring, man, we've heard this over and over again. Just come in here, tell us what we need to do. We don't need you yelling and screaming. Just tell us what we need to do. We know what we need to do, and let's go out there and get it fixed. And I guess that's where I'm at with this, because it's baffling.
Real quick, I just something I did want to add to this whole discussion. Mm-hmm. I remember Nick Bonino coming up the post game in Barrel House, and he told Hal and I that what we asked about the power play, which was working. In fact, this may have been after the last Chicago game when he had the hat trick. But Nick Bonino, we asked, well, so what's the, you know, Dan Lambert, it's a new voice. So what does that mean? And he said, this is a player saying, their last game said, I just had a couple of huge mistakes. Now think about Nick Bonino's experience, what he's been through. Mm-hmm. He has been through it all. He's played with experience. He's played with superstars. He's played at the highest level. He's won at the highest level. He knows what the finish line looks like. Nick Bonino's done all that. He said, I made some huge mistakes. And I knew it as a player. But the next day I came in, Dan Lambert pulls me aside, and he's expecting what? He's expecting to get shown and told, you know, like how bad those plays were. He said, what stood out to me is how positive Dan Lambert was. It was just the opposite of what we're talking about, how positive, hey, don't worry about it. This is how, and it was a correction moment, and let's talk about it, and let's move on. And he said that really stood out to me because he expected the opposite. Instead, he got a guy that was saying, hey, don't worry about it. It was positive. Now let's look it over. Let's correct it, and let's move on.
And those are the things you can do with a veteran team, because you don't need, you know, they don't need you yelling and screaming, even though they might anticipate it. But they don't need you yelling and screaming. They just need you to tell them, hey, listen, what you did wrong, how it could be fixed, and let's fix it. That's all they really care about. Screaming and yelling, you kind of lose them. Veteran guys, when you start doing that. Younger guys, yeah, you can keep them. But veteran guys, you start to lose them. What I'm trying to figure out is with this with the defense they've been playing, because, you know, it's unlike football where you got the defensive unit and an offensive unit. Well, hockey, kind of like basketball, both units play both sides of the ice. And if you put so much attention toward fixing the defense, do you think possibly that could hamper what you're doing offensively?
I don't think so, because mm-hmm. they're so incredibly talented. I don't think there's anything you can do, DMAs, to ruin Philip Forsberg. He's just ridiculously talented. You've played with those guys. I mean, look at some of the most explosive guys on offense. If their defense is, you know, if they're changing things to try to get better defensively, you just can't hurt those guys. I mean, DeShane, and I mean, I don't need to go down the list. You guys know the list. I mean, this team is very, very powerful offensively, but it's just like what we talked about. And not to bring up Nick's, you know, tough loss on Saturday, but what did Oklahoma do that they've been so lousy at for years? Nobody's ever questioned their offense and scoring. It's what have they not been able to do, and that's stop anybody and get better on the defensive side of the ball. Well, guess what they did? They shut them down in the second half and won the game. And so Oklahoma's defense actually, you know, stood up and they made stands. And so they shut Baylor down and they won the game. It's something they haven't been able to do in the past. I mean, that's a signature Oklahoma loss in the past, just because they couldn't stop Baylor in the first half, and then they did. Look what the New England Patriots did on Sunday. Gosh, I feel like I'm beating up Nick to his beloved Eagles. I mean, the Eagles in control, and what did New England do? They shut them down. The last 10 drives, Philadelphia, 0 points. And they beat Philadelphia at their place, 17-10, by shutting them down. So I don't think you can ruin them. Look, you just have to be more responsible. Mm-hmm. It's just the bottom line. Look, you can play aggressive and do the things that they do. You just have to always be aware of what's going on behind you. And so they're going through that right now, and I don't think it's going to hamper. They're going to have to shore some things up, to your point. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that they're going to slow things down on the offensive end and you're not going to see as many goals. I mean, maybe it does a little bit, but guess what? You're not giving up 4, 5, and 6 goals a game. You don't need to score 4, 5, and 6 goals a game to win. So I just think this team is really talented. They just have to be more responsible on the back end.
D-Mac, always a pleasure. We appreciate you popping on for a few.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
You got it. Darren McFarland talking Preds with us every Monday at 9 o'clock. So I tweeted this out Saturday night because he alluded to the Baylor-Oklahoma thing. Mm-hmm. All of you guys had lost your silly underdog pick early in the day.
Yeah, I was
I'm
so
the only
upset,
guy left.
Man.
I was the guy with the first pick. I took Baylor getting 10.5. They're up 28-3. And I tweet out, I wish Chris Sanders and Kelly Holcomb had Twitter.
Yeah, I saw
so
that.
I could tag them and talk trash.
Oh, wow.
And what happened after I put that tweet out?
So it was your fault.
They went down.
I mushed it.
So it was your fault.
100%.
Also, totally recovered by Saturday, it sounds like?
Yeah, well, no. Marquise can vouch for me.
Okay, well,
Munson. Was I? How was I Saturday morning for the tailgate show?
So he showed up Saturday for you.
He was rough.
Okay,
but he got through it, man. It was his Jordan Flew.
I had the head down on the desk in between commercials.
Yeah, he did.
No. Did you have the trash can next to you?
No.
Oh, okay. Carried him out of the studio like Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan.
Yeah. It was like my Jordan Flew game. I saved it for Saturday. Friday, there was no chance. No chance. All right, we'll go around the NFL coming up at 9:30. We'll continue a little bit of Preds here on the other side, as well as getting back to the Titans and Kaepernick. Morning Drive, back after this on ESPN 102.5 The Game. No, you wait a minute. We got a show to do. It's Morning Drive, around the NFL coming up at the bottom of the hour.
You don't talk to N-E-R-D and Pharrell like that, man. Come on.
Who?
N-E-R-D?
Yeah, that's Pharrell's, like, band.
Nerd.
It's N-E-R-D. That's how he does.
Who
was
the original?
N period, E period, R period?
The Neptunes.
The Neptunes, yeah. They were original nerds.
Him and Chad Hugo.
Now, that sounds like a
good
band
knowledge.
The Neptunes.
Like, yeah, Neptunes was back in the day.
That's what I'm saying. Don't be taking my nerd brand, though.
You remember the nerds back in the day, the candy?
I had some the other day.
I had some.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Got
Into the kiddies' Halloween bag, huh?
Oh, the kids' Halloween basket's been mommy and daddy's Halloween basket for about a month now.
Y'all are eating all the candy.
We're big proponents of give them all a piece of candy, one a day for a couple of days.
And y'all get three.
And then, like, by about the fourth day, the 1.5-year-old doesn't even know that Halloween's a thing anymore. So, she forgets very quickly.
She forgets about the candy.
I tell you what, if you say candy to them, they know what that means now.
Oh, they eat it.
They've learned that.
Let me get your take on this, because this is what, you know, D-Mac brought this up. You know, when you've been around for so long and you have a veteran locker room and a veteran coach and, you know, the old adage of throwing the water cooler or knocking a bench over, were you ever in a locker room in the NFL or even in college where the coach was trying to get across the message and you guys simply just said, oh, I'm tuning this dude out?
I think there have been situations where, you know, a coach comes in and you know, we know what we did wrong. and he come and start, you know, he's yelling, and guys are just tuning it out, you know, because when you have a veteran locker room, I think that's what makes, you know, I think someone like Bill Belichick, I think that's what makes him so great, is that I doubt if he walks into that veteran locker room and starts yelling and screaming and throwing stuff around, because he's the type, he seems like the type that he's going to tell you where you messed up, and that's going, and he expects you to be a professional and get it fixed. And if you don't get it fixed, you're not on a team any longer. So there's no need for me to scream and yell. You know, maybe he pulls aside a young guy and he gets on him, but as a whole, the veteran locker room, no, he's not. It's like, these guys know.
But is there ever the flip scenario where, let's say, somebody really needs to blow a gasket and they don't, and you lose a locker room that way?
No, because I think typically the players are the one that blows the gasket. The veteran players are the ones that blow a gasket. It's not the coach. The coach leads it up to the veterans, the leaders on the team, to blow a gasket. It's not him that's blowing the gasket. He's going to come in. He's going to say it's, he might be firm in what he's saying, but it's the older guys that are, you know, screaming and yelling and, guys, we need to get this fixed, yada, yada, yada. That's what you want from your locker room, your veteran locker room. You don't want the coach, the one, you don't want him to be yelling and screaming. It's the veterans, because it comes, they look at that different. Players look at that, coming from a veteran guy, different than they do a coach. Because after a while, like you said, it goes in one ear and out the other. I've been there. Yeah. It's like, okay, coach, all right, here we go again.
Well, and Hal Gill talks about it all the time. He says, you know, listen, if you're not who you are authentically, you know,
you're right through it.
They're going to see right through it. He goes, if some guy comes into the locker room and tries to be a tough guy, but we know he's an analytics guy, well, we're gonna know right away, mm-hmm. and we're not going to take it seriously. I always find Trevor Maddich always talks about this as well from ESPN. You know, he played at BYU, and he always talks about how his coaching staff, when he played in college, realized pretty quickly that he was not going to respond to being, like, dog cussed in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't how you got through to him. And how you got through to him was to pull him aside and say, hey, do you see where you did this wrong? Here's how you can correct it. Let's go mm-hmm. be better than that. And he was like, oh, my God, now I know what I'm doing right, and I'll fix it. People respond differently. Mm-hmm. People need different types of motivation. Some people – and Jonathan Allen is one of my favorite examples as well of this. Jonathan Allen had so much awareness as a high school recruit, the big defensive lineman for Alabama, plays for the Redskins, I think, now. You know, he had so much awareness as a high school recruit because he was down to basically Clemson and Alabama, mm-hmm. and he knew the culture of Alabama was going to be better for his personality than the culture for Clemson. And that's just because he fits better in a more business-like situation. Mm-hmm. And for him to be aware of that at 18 years old is just astonishing, frankly. It took me till into college when I had a boss. I waited tables for like 7 years at the same restaurant, and I had a boss that just was a cusser. He just cussed at everybody. He just, like, you know that guy. He blows. Mm-hmm. He's like, he just blows his stack all the time. Every shift.
He's a stack blower.
Every shift, morning shift, afternoon shift.
Habitual stack blower.
Yeah, like, he's my kind of guy.
Just the whole thing. But, like, he just would yell at everybody. And I get it. You know, the restaurant industry, good help, hard to find. It's a tough business. You got to be on. You got to lean on people a lot. I get that. But he knew. He figured out the first couple of months I worked there that if he embarrassed me and dog cussed me in front of like the entire restaurant and my coworkers, that was not going to get me to perform better. Mm-hmm. And I just went to him one day and I said, listen, if you just tell me what I'm doing wrong and just talk to me like an adult, I'm going to run through a brick wall for you. Mm-hmm. And he figured that out. And he said, some guys needed to be yelled at. And he knew which guys to yell at. And he learned really quickly that if he just said, hey, put this here and do that here and push this button here and don't, hey, you see why we're doing this and do, if he just talked to me and explained it to me, it was far easier for me to, It registered. It landed on me. And
well, so, being able to read a room is a great trait for a leader. I'll just bring in like a personal situation. Like with my daughters, now mm-hmm. granted they're 5 years and 2 months old, but my daughter Olivia, who's much more rugged, much more of a tomboy, very brash, she can take criticism mm-hmm. and handle it. My other daughter Mia, who's the mama's girl, little princess, I mean, if I even give her the stare, she's ready to cry.
But do you think that – but see, that's interesting because that means she's probably more aware of other people's situations, right? The bulldog, which is sort of the side that I fall on, mm-hmm. where I just like bust into a room like a bull in a china shop, which is my oldest daughter, you know, doesn't have – like I don't have – like this is where I learn from my wife every day how to – pick up on people, like you said, read a room, understand emotion, empathy, what people are like, read where the situation is and know, hey, maybe it's not the right time to go this direction with the conversation or whatever. And my youngest, I think, is far more like that too. She's just more aware of people and is more just, whereas my oldest is sort of just like, you know, bull in a china shop, which is more like me. And hopefully she's got enough genetic makeup from her mother that she doesn't turn into me. So,
oh wow.
Big finish coming up at 9:45. We'll go around the NFL on the other side of Morning Drive. And don't forget, if you miss any of the show, like our interview with Aaron Suttles, which a lot of people are talking about, Corey Curtis, Darren McFarland, and all the other frivolity in between, you can get it all now because our on-demand audio has moved to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com today to find our daily audio. You can rate, review, and subscribe. And please review, rate, and subscribe because it helps us tremendously. Back after this on Morning Drive. Back in here, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we go around the National Football League. Marquise Munson at the wheels of steel as he will let the audio do the talking. And I got to tell you, I hate the NFL. I can explain why I hate the NFL in a little bit.
Ooh, do tell.
But I watched way too much football yesterday on a day where I really wasn't obligated to do so.
How many minutes did you watch, Derek?
I just watched the Raven game.
The whole thing?
No.
I mean, once they were up 24-0 or something.
Yeah, bits and pieces.
How much you watched it all day?
Everything.
I watched. I made some chili yesterday.
Yeah, so you didn't watch much.
Little Mermaid. I watched about 30 minutes of football yesterday. Yeah. It was glorious.
You're a better man for it.
It was glorious. I went grocery shopping. I had to do some. Had to do some chores. It was wonderful.
Watson, getting out of the pocket, looks downfield, uncorks a deep one. Incomplete. DeAndre Hopkins wants a flag.
He should get one because Humphrey grabbed him.
After review, the ruling on the field stands. Houston is charged with their first timeout, and they've lost them the game. Please reset the game clock at 5:46.
Well, there's contact with the jersey. That's pass interference to begin with.
Hey, you guys remember that play or that rule that now you can review?
Yeah, the one that the NFL put in place, but he refuses to overturn egregious calls. Dude, I'm telling you, yesterday, this is why I hate the NFL. That non-call is a disgrace. One thing to get it wrong and miss it live. Mm-hmm. Another for Bill O'Brien to challenge that for a star player, where a star player should get treatment. They did not overturn that and call pass interference. It would have been first in goal at the 1 yard line.
It was a pass interference.
It was
interference. Yeah,
it was a pass interference.
If you're not going to overturn that, when are you going to overturn one?
Yeah. We know why this rule was put in place because Sean Payton in New Orleans screaming, yelled, and all this other stuff.
Make people feel good.
Exactly. And so they say, you know what? We're going to put it in place, even though we don't plan on overturning any of it.
I was kidding. I did actually see that play.
Whatever's called on the field, we're going to stick with it. If it was called a no.
And you're usually a guy that doesn't bang on referees. Would you agree that was a terrible miscall?
Yeah,
especially with the review?
Well, I think the review is the problem. I don't have a problem with human error in the moment because it's bang-bang and it's lightning-fast games, hockey, football, whatever. I understand that errors happen. It's human elements part of this. But if the rule is in place to fix problems and then you go to the rule to fix a problem and you don't fix the problem, what's the point of the rule?
The other thing that really drives me nuts, too, is these former referees that are now part of the broadcast, like Gene Steratore, who will never, ever criticize one of his former colleagues when everybody, including Ray Charles, Helen Keller, and any other person that's visually challenged can see that it was a mistake. Get Gene Steratore off my TV. I don't need your drivel and your nonsense. If you're not going to call out your former guys for a mistake, then get the hell off the broadcast.
And it's not even calling them out. It's just based upon my opinion and what I see as a former ref, it should be a pass defense. You're not calling them out. You're just saying based upon what you see.
It's like it's like they almost feel bad for those guys because, well, I was once a referee and I was on the field and I know how difficult it is at warp speed to get these calls right. But like once you see the review and the replay,
but they're giving you like Braden said, in real time, if there was no review, then yes, we can say they just missed one because it's happening so fast. But when you have the ability to go back and look at it, then it's your fault for not calling it.
Yeah, so basically since the start of week four, coaches has lost 32 of 33 pass interference checks.
Wow.
And that's a 3% rate.
the league's not going to overturn them. What's the one that they did overturn? Do we know?
Yeah, that's the one I'd like to know.
I would love to see what that looks like on replay. And see the video.
They basically tackled the guy.
I will say that if the point of the rule is to specifically avoid something like we had in the Saints-Rams, then there still is room for that, for this rule. If that was the goal of the rule, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the goal of the rule, the problem is that why doesn't this particular call fall into that category?
Yeah.
And well, that's the question.
It was so bad, DeAndre Hopkins went to Twitter yesterday, and he quote-tweeted the visual from SportsCenter's Twitter feed, and DeAndre Hopkins says, as a leader in the NFL, we need someone new in New York deciding calls. 140,000 likes.
I mean, listen, when other people can see that it was a missed call, that's bad. Because you don't know, what are they looking at then if that's the case? It's a blatant grab, and it impeded the guy. Do you have to basically tackle the guy before the ball gets there? Is that what they're saying?
Pretty much. But you know what's going to happen. They're going to continue not to overturn these until the playoffs. Once we get to the playoffs and there's a game that decides a season, then they'll act.
I can see that happening.
It's a joke.
Jackson closing in on 300 total yards. Jackson, the spin and toss. Ingram makes a man miss. Diving. Touchdown. What an effort.
The MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me. I'm right here in Bmore outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me. I'm about that. Big trust. Woo woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh. Yes, sir. Big trust.
I like that last part of it.
Big trust.
Big trust. Lamar Jackson, another MVP performance by him. And as you heard from Ingram, and if you guys don't agree with Lamar Jackson, we can go take a flight to Baltimore right now if you don't agree.
He said meet him outside the bank, didn't he?
Did he look like Adam Gase a little bit with the eyeballs in that press conference? His eyeballs were open way too wide.
Why did we have to meet him outside the bank?
Have you seen how big Mark Ingram's gotten?
He's huge, always. Yeah. Didn't he just have a 4-game PED suspension last year?
My man is stacked.
But why the bank?
People don't go to the post office anymore? Hey, I don't know.
Meet me outside the bank. Oh, I guess the M&T Bank, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, M&T
Bank.
Like, I'm trying to think. Like, Lamar Jackson,
so
to me.
So is he going
to
just be waiting outside M&T
Bank
for
people? Meet me outside the coffee shop.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound as tough. The bank sounds tough.
You got to go Lamar MVP right now, other than who? Maybe Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, for sure. Russell.
It's probably those two.
Russell or, you know, McCaffrey, but his team's not winning, so it's kind of hard. But McCaffrey is the Carolina Panthers himself.
McCaffrey's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
His numbers have not been great. Their defense is probably more of the reason that they're... I mean, well, great is a relative term, right?
Sure.
Great to Aaron Rodgers' levels of standards.
Drew Brees still the only guy that hadn't won an MVP?
Well, no, there's like thousands of
them.
No,
I'm saying as far as like Aaron Rodgers
of all the elite guys.
All the elite quarterbacks,
I would say right now it's Russell and Lamar and McCaffrey. Yeah. I think those are probably the top three.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
And they always have something unique on something like this. Over to Edelman. He's loading up to throw it. He's going to the end zone, and it's a touchdown. Edelman with the touchdown pass to Philip Dorsett. I mean, this is cold wind, 63 yards. I mean, there's no way he's going to. You can get this ball even close. Not going to get there at the 5, and it's knocked down. Game over. New England takes it.
Eagles had an opportunity to kind of stay neck and neck with the Cowboys. Cowboys won their game yesterday against the Lions. That was pretty close. But it seems like, and I don't know what's going on with this Eagles team. It seems like when they get things figured out on defense, Carson Wentz can't get any offense going at all. So
they might be the slowest offense in the league as far as guys that are true speed burners with no DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans, right?
The Titans are slow, too.
Yeah, I mean.
I'll tell you, New England's slow as well.
Well, New England, it's their defense is what's holding this team together right now. They have a shutdown defense, and if it wasn't for that shutdown defense, they would have a lot of problems because offensively, they just don't have any game changers. The Gronk is not there anymore. Yeah, Edelman will catch you a 9-yard pass. He averaged 9 yards. He'll get you 12 catches, but averages 9 yards and maybe a touchdown out of it. But no one that's going to threaten you down the field. Their young receiver, he's just coming back, but I don't think he was considered a burner.
You're talking about N'Keal Harry?
N'Keal Harry, yeah. I don't think he was considered a burner. You bring in the kid from Atlanta.
Sanu,
he's not really a burner. So if it wasn't for that defense.
Just think about in the AFC right now, how much speed the Ravens and Chiefs have compared to the rest of the league on offense.
Lord.
Offense.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, you go to the Chargers don't have that kind of speed. The Titans don't. The Browns don't. The Bills don't.
Browns got some guys that can run.
Yeah. They just don't. You know, Freddie Kitchens just. Doesn't he's the one them. That doesn't put gas in the tank. So, there you go.
Just running on E all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like my wife's car. The light is always on. Honey, fill the tank all the way up.
Mm-mm. Nope, I'm Freddie Kitchens. I'm not.
No, I'm putting $8 in. Dead. There we go. Okay, $8. I'm just going to put $8 in just so we can get from point A to point B.
You know, my old man used to do that.
I don't understand.
Back in the day.
You're going to spend the money anyway. Why make yourself stop so many times?
He only put enough to get
it
to where
he's going. It used to drive my mother nuts.
I don't understand it.
Uh-huh. Like, my mom would always fill up, go down to empty, fill back to full.
Yes. Uh-huh.
My dad, for 20 years. Yeah, give me 15 unleaded.
But why would you want to make yourself have to stop?
I don't get it.
Stop three times as many times.
And you also get worse miles per gallon, I think, economically as well.
To me, it's about time in my day. I am stopping as few times to fill up my stinking gas tank as possible, and I do not understand. I understand, you know, okay, $40 versus 12. I get it. Like,
but you got to pay it anyway.
Yeah, right.
But dude, like, I would
why
be,
make yourself stop every
I would
two
be
days?
Embarrassed to go in the car with my dad if I knew he had to fill up for gas because he was never going to fill it.
I let mine get down to, like, if I'm riding around in the city, not on the highway. If I'm riding around in the city, I let mine get down to at least, like, 3 miles, 2 miles left. And then I'm filling up. I'm not filling up, you know, a quarter of a tank left. No, I'm not. Nope. Mm-mm. But I am filling up. I'm not putting $15 in. I'm filling it
well,
up.
Well, no, for a Range Rover, $15 gets you, what, a gallon?
It gets you a few gallons.
Well, the gas is the same price for everybody.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's the miles per 15, gallon.
Yeah, $15 gets you, what, like an eighth of a tank?
You don't really get to complain much, dude. You drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee. So
oh, I guarantee you. I guarantee you my active. Grand Cherokee's much more fuel efficient than yours.
I don't know about that.
We need to think. We need to
talk I get,
about
oh,
we need to have, I think mine's the best.
I get 18 I get 18 city and 24 highway, and that's a 6 of them.
I need to check mine.
I get about 20 and 27.
There's no way you come close to 20 miles a gallon highway.
I'm gonna guess,
though, is far better than the technology in your car.
I'm going to guess you get like 16 miles a gallon city.
You might be right.
Highway.
I'm going to check it.
Here's the problem with this comparison. Derek Mason's right foot. Derek Mason's right foot is the one that uses up all the gas.
You saying he's a NASCAR driver?
Because when you drive fast and you hit the gas a lot, whenever you drive, that's going to use up more fuel.
Yeah, we need to clarify this. I'm very interested in
Derek's
your fuel efficiency.
Right, Derek's right foot is the inefficiency
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
That's what causes him
pretty
problems.
So.
Yeah, I've seen him drive from Birmingham back
yes,
to
yes, Nashville. That's the that's
okay,
the problem.
So here, Range Rover, this is a supercharged V6 gas engine EPA estimate, 17 city, 23 highway.
There's no way. Is that the model you have?
Mine's is not the...
No, there's no way yeah. your model gets 20 miles a gallon.
But hang on a second. Yeah. Hang on a second. One of them is you know, the better the technology, sometimes
exactly.
the better the gas
Kale.
Mileage. I would put a Range Rover up against a Cherokee for gas.
Yeah,
mileage.
Nick Kale.
I would take the Range. Now my Japanese
ha,
truck
ha.
Is the best of all of them.
Ha ha, Nick.
Are you sure?
I'm reading, Nick.
That's fake news.
You both need to turn on your cars and tell you look at what
okay,
your car
here,
actually
here it
tells
is.
You.
Here it is.
Hey, Marquise, what's up, dude? What are you doing back there,
17 city, 23.
I was just getting ready for the rewind.
The Range Rover Supercharge,
cool.
which is a V8,
pretty
another
good.
V8,
nice.
Is 16 city, 21.
Watch some college football.
Cool.
So I'm around, yeah, I'm 17 city, 23 highway.
Is that a verified website?
No, just pull up your car. It'll show you.
It's the Land Rover
hey, don't
website.
Don't use the website. Use your actual meter on the car. Don't you guys both have meters on your car that tell you the gas mileage?
Yeah,
everybody's
this
car
is
has
accurate
that now.
Too. This is
not
accurate.
That'll take your right foot into account down there.
I'm just going by what the
yeah.
website
Well,
says.
Let's look at your actual car. How about
no,
that?
I'm looking at this.
I'm willing to bet you we're all right around like 22.
You want a race later today? Me and you?
No, Nick, I'm not racing after work.
No,
I'm not racing after. No, I'm not racing you after work.
Now in that
Nick,
department,
okay?
I would lose to both of you. I'm losing to both of you in that department.
The truck. I'm not racing afterward.
My little truck isn't gonna doesn't have the same pickup.
All right, big finish coming up next. Stay there.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And if you have a big finish, well, then it was a good day. The big finish brought to you by the good folks at...
It's a great day. Brought to you by Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com.
Hollywood, let's get to the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. Welcome into a Monday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know, fellas, it's very interesting in sports talk radio, right? Like, you know, you get to football season and it's a grind. Not that our job is a grind compared to real jobs out there, but football season is like, you know, our back to school season in the retail world. It's like final exam season for professors. But then you get that bye week. And if you have an NFL team and a college team in your market, you kind of feel like, all right, it might be a slow couple of days going into the weekend.
You might take a Friday off.
You might take a Friday off if you have the Tito's flu, which we can get to later. Jerks.
Alabama's up 35-7 on Mississippi State at the time. Tua's on the sideline. It looks like Mac Jones is warming up to go into the game. And, you know, there's a conversation. We don't know what was said. Nick Saban decides to put Tua back into the game. Now, I believe his explanation was he wanted him to get some two-minute drill experience, which is comical to me. But then he goes out there and is rolling to his left and falls on his right. Hip. The official orthopedic surgeon for Alabama says that he will make a full recovery, but that he's out for the season this year. It could also mean his career in college is finished. It may impact his draft stock at this point because he's taken way too many hits over the last two years.
They were not playing a top-ranked team. This game was meaningless from this standpoint. There was nothing Tua can do that was going to cause them to win this game. Matt could have won this game for them. That's everybody knew it. This was the game he should have been resting. After getting beat up by LSU, it was visible that this kid was limping around. Second half was even worse than the first half. This kid was limping around. The least you can say is this: Tua, we're going to save you for the Auburn game. We don't need you for this game. Let Mac play. We address you, but, I mean, you're not playing unless it's an emergency. You are not setting foot on this field. But, no, you didn't do that. You allowed this kid to play. You had total control over this situation, Nick. Nobody else.
What if he fell to John Robinson, middle of the first round?
I don't think they're I don't know if they're going to take. You know what? Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
They might because.
I don't think he falls out of the first round.
Because if they take him, they can legitimately let him rest for 2 years or like, a year or two.
If you're John Robinson and the Titans, and let's just say they're picking 15, just for the sake of this discussion, and he's there at 12, if you don't move up to take him, I need to live in a world. Let me be selfish radio host for a moment. I need to live in a world where you draft Tua Tagovailoa and you sign Colin Kaepernick in free agency. You want to make the Tennessee Titans exciting and relevant and have people talk about them?
There's no question about that.
There's your solution.
I am on the Kaepernick side of this. I think he did get quote-unquote blackballed, even if it's not officially blackballed, you know, unofficially, whatever. And I think it's outrageous that you are offended that someone exercises their rights as an American citizen to peaceful protest. I am offended at that, but I'm not going to get worked up about it. You move on. I just think this whole thing could have been handled better by both sides. I think the NFL did a lot of things that screwed this up. The NFL should not have announced it. The Titans, I don't see the Titans having a need for him. If you're planning on bringing Tannehill back, if the price tag isn't too much. The Titans, from what I understand, were there, had a representative there. And, you know, I don't think he's... This to me, the other thing I've been told is this is all for next year. None of this is for, like, he's not going to step onto a football field this weekend or next weekend and help somebody.
If you believe that Tyreek Hill deserves a second chance after what he did, but you think Colin Kaepernick doesn't, that's why I think you are crazy. Now, I call it what it is, hypocritical, idiot, whatever. That's for those that think Tyreek Hill shouldn't be in the NFL and Colin Kaepernick should be in there, I'm not talking to you because I think you're not hypocritical. You're thinking neither one of them should be in. But if you think Tyreek Hill should be in and then Colin Kaepernick should be out, something's wrong with your thinking.
Normally, we talk to Corey Curtis from News 2 coming off of a Titans game on Sunday, but the Titans had a bye, but Corey did not take the week off. He's with us here on Morning Drive.
That's a huge win for them. And I guess you could go either way with Jacksonville, Indy. But as far as the next game goes, now you place a Jacksonville team whose season is about over. And if, you know, they were believing that Nick Foles was going to rally them to the finish, you know, that was shown to not be the case. So my point is, you're facing a Jacksonville team that's probably on the brink, and so that helps you with the next one considerably. So you've still got a chance to catch Indy in the loss column, you know, head to head, and then you got to take care of the rest of your stuff. So I think yesterday's a pretty good day.
Darren McFarland, of course, Darren Donick and Chase, Preds Radio Network, joins us.
Obviously, they need to work on their defense, and they've admitted that. Roman Yossi, the captain, stood up, as a leader should, and talked about the play in front of the blue ice, and they've got to get better. And it requires being better on both ends of the ice. Look, it hasn't been going well for them. We know that. They've been giving up too much. They know it. Now they're going to have to fix it as the woes on Saturday continue at home. And yet again, you know, they didn't end the road trip the way they wanted to, as we talked about last week. They had one more game left, and it was in Vancouver, and they gave up 5 goals in that one. Typically, I guess, technically 4, an empty netter, but they lose 5-3. I mean, they got to get better defensively. There's no excuse for it, and they know it. So it's just going to be a matter of going out to improve it. It's like the Taylor one. Like, at this point, it's words. Now go out and prove it.
The new Terminator movie. I saw that.
Why are they doing that?
It's nothing but the old Terminator movie. Just a different cast.
But Schwarzenegger's not in it, right?
He's in this one.
But
Schwarzenegger and the lady.
She looks really old.
Yeah.
Have you noticed her? I mean, she did not age well.
Just easy, man.
I was like, wait, is that
bro?
I'm like, wow, 1992 was like 50 years ago.
What does this say about me? I just want to hear from you.
It says a lot about you.
Hey, I just want to hear from
you. I'll just answer it now.
Is that I sat down and I really enjoy Sex in the City Part 2. What does that say about me?
You got to have some sparkle, Gary.
Yeah.
We're bad.
Sex in the City 2 was good.
When they go to Dubai?
Yeah, when they go to Dubai.
Listen to us talking
about that was
Nick,
good.
Give me some quotes from Sex in the City.
No, I got nothing for you, man. Thought we had to sit this one out.
I can't believe I just quoted Sex in the City 2.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. It is a part of your big finish each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. So Monday Night Football tonight, gentlemen, the Chiefs and the Chargers in Mexico City.
Some intrigue there.
There you go. I got a little hoops tonight, college and the NBA, the NHL, the Preds back tomorrow night at home as they continue on, as they try to get this thing right. Anything else in the world of sports or entertainment you boys going to consume?
I'll give you some entertainment here. We are halfway through the second season of Mindhunter on Netflix. Spectacular.
Oh, yeah, Mindhunter's good.
And the second season centers around all the child abduction murders in Atlanta in the 70s and 80s that never got enough coverage in this country, and it's fascinating.
So you're just now seeing it.
We're midway through the second season. We watched 2 episodes yesterday, and we were both looking at each other like we're both falling asleep. Mm-hmm. My wife and
it's
I going
good.
Like,
Mine
like
is
we,
good.
I want to watch it again. It's such a good show. It's a lot of insight into, you know, how psychology and mental health in this country is. We've been way behind the curve on it for a long time.
All right, that is going to do it for us here on a Monday. So that means tomorrow is what, D Mace? Do you want?
He doesn't know.
You got your chance. I know what it is, but do you want me to say it?
I mean,
you
know.
You scream it. Let me take my headset off first.
Top 4 Tuesday. Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Will there be any surprises tomorrow?
Nope.
With this show or
with the
playoff committee?
As far as
I think you should tune in to find out. Yeah. Tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m.
Surprises. Because every surprise
you'll probably put Auburn in there.
They've lost. Like,
oh,
the next
they lost the close game to Georgia. I'm putting Auburn in over Georgia.
D-May still have Indiana 4 because they hung in with Penn State. All right, that's it for us.
Iowa, number 4.
Have a great rest of your Monday. We will see you tomorrow on a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive. Take care, Twitter world.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm and have a wonderful day.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.